Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me, Dwayne?
Hey, yes, I can hear you.
Hey, is Elliot there?
Okay. Elliot is going to jump on as a guest.
That's what I'm on as right now, too.
Okay, it says that because I've been on for a while just messing with it, and I didn't realize it was just one host. Well, first of all, for those of you that's on the show right now, welcome to our show, our first episode of Point Blank Radio.
Yes, you have myself, Dwayne, of Zach Tactical.
You have Ms. Kia of Point Blank. Excuse us. We're trying to figure this out, folks. So we have Ms. Kia of Point Blank Firearm Safety, and we have our guy Elliot, who's trying to dial in right now, of the one and only 610 Tactical. So do bear with us as we go ahead and go through these technical difficulties. Again, this is our first time doing this live, and hopefully you guys can enjoy the banter of us going back and forth. And don't hesitate to call in, all right? The call-in number is 845-241-9979. That is 845-241-9979. So bear with us as we figure out how to get everybody in on the call.
I think we need to come up with some theme music.
I think we got Elliot. Elliot, we got you, Elliot?
Yeah, I'm on here now.
There we go.
Yeah,
folks, the one and only Elliot has joined.
You know it, baby. You know
no,
it.
I always get real mushy and stuff, so I want to say special thank you to Ms. Kia. She was the one that had this awesome idea to get us on this platform.
Absolutely.
So, ma'am, thank you very much. Just so you know, Point Blank Radio is the name of the show, but it's also the name of her extremely powerful company. So thank you, Point Blank, for, allowing the little fish in the sea, myself.
Oh, please.
That tactical.
You guys are tripping now.
She's big time, baby. She's a game changer.
Okay. I'll take it.
No doubt. So, yeah, this is exciting. Like, I've been, I probably done been on here way before time. I don't know how many times, because I'm just excited to talk about what we need to talk about. I want to help people, with better understanding when it comes to the firearm community. It was a blessing that, you even thought of us both to do this, So, I told a couple of people that said they were going to tune in. Hey, this is our first time, so don't judge us too hard.
Not yet. Give us a minute.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about some real stuff, though, so that's important.
Yeah.
100.
For sure. Definitely.
Why don't you kick us off, Elliot?
Like a full-fledged introduction. Tell us who you are. Let's get everybody know who we are.
Absolutely. So my name is Elliot Davis Sr. I am, currently living in Danville, Virginia, the owner of 610 Tactical Solution, LLC, where I offer a gunsmithing, customizing, and firearms instruction. I was in the Marine Corps from 95 to 99. I probably had every job you could possibly think of, and I had a great opportunity to meet these two awesome people that are hosting the show with me through Dawn. We definitely got to get Dawn on here, man, because she's a connection. You feel me? So
definitely. I agree.
So father of two. I have older kids, but they're older now, so I don't really count them no more. so, but, But I, you know, two little awesome little boys. I just had one come down here. I knew he was going to do that. You know, as soon as he knew I had something to do, he was going to come down and try to get his little 5 minute shine. So, you know what I'm saying? An awesome wife named Monica Davis, man, who's very supportive of everything that I'm doing. And I'm just thankful, you know what I mean, of everything that's going on.
Awesome, awesome. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Go ahead. We can alley you put over to you, the one and only Miss Kia.
Come on, Miss Kia.
Mom, my name is Kia. I am the owner of Point Blank Firearms and Personal Defense, and I am probably the newest to this game. I just crew. as far as being, you know, in the professional environment, I am the newest to this crew. I have my husband. I have my two awesome daughters, and my oldest one is 24. I'll mention her since Ellie didn't mention his older kids. I'll mention my 24-year-old. And then I have my 14-year-old. And I have my 14-year-old, and, you know, and I have my awesome husband, you know, Yank, and he's very supportive as well. And, you know, I just want to get the word out to as many people as possible because it's very important that we understand what's going on, understand our rights, understand, you know, the totality. It's not just about going out and shooting a gun. There's a lot of things at stake here. So it's very important to
Absolutely.
Me. And I don't want
right.
people to just make decisions blindly, you know. So, you know, and sometimes people won't go looking for the information, so we got to bring it to them. So that's my thought.
Awesome, awesome. That's beautiful. So before I say anything, we actually got a caller, guys.
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
I know, we have a caller. I'm going to pause on me, and I don't know if you guys are excited as I am that we got a. This is our first caller.
Yeah.
So
they may just be calling to listen, too, because we put the number out there for them to listen. So they may just be listening, too.
Okay.
Well,
That's cool.
Okay,
you know
cool.
what I'm saying?
So
if they have a question, they could just chime
yeah.
in.
Yeah. All right, definitely. So do y'all want to bring on the caller, or you want me to go into my stuff?
Go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll jump into our stuff.
All right, awesome. Well, folks, my name is Dwayne Haynes. I am the proud owner of Zach Tactical, which stands for Zoe Aiden. Those are my two babies. And Chase, my nephew, that for some reason he just lives, he don't ever leave the house, and we always trying to kick him out. Zoe is Zoe's 7. She's going to be 8 on April 10th. Aiden is 11. And Chase, the one that we always trying to get rid of, he is 5. And, you know, my reason for doing this, you know, I'm a guy from Brooklyn, New York, moved here to Virginia where I grew up not, you know, everything I learned about firearms was video games, movies. And, you know, I moved to Virginia.
Wow.
And Virginia is a full open carry state. You know, you can get your concealed. There's no restrictions on firearms for now, hopefully, right? Hopefully that's not a thing.
Right.
And it was just eye-opening. I remember my first interaction with someone out here in Virginia. I was in a Walmart, and I saw this little tiny lady with this huge gun on her hip, and I was like, are we about to get robbed? And no one else was panicking except for me. Because I had no clue that this was legal, and I'm tense, I'm nervous, scared, whatever. I'm ready to go left and find out. That's just how it is in Virginia. So, yeah, I'm fairly new. I know, Kia, you say you're new. I'm fairly new as well. I'm not, you know, deep in the game like, you know, Mr. Marine, Mr. Elliott over there. But, you know.
Yeah.
And just like you two, you know, I want to share the knowledge that I gain and spread it back out to, you know, to the people because it is more. Kia, you said it best. It's way more than just firearm, you know. It's about becoming a responsible firearms owner, you know.
Right.
And I feel a lot of times, you know, we go into that. And I'm going to say we a lot because I don't want to exclude myself from the general populace, you know. So –
Right.
We go into a gun store, we purchase a firearm, and we take it home and we put it under the bed. And we hear a bang in the night, and then the first thing we do, we grab that revolver, cock it back, and we're ready to go. It's a squirrel, and we don't even know how to release the hammer. We don't even know it's called a hammer, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
We see that a lot, and I feel there's a lot more accidents and, you know, a lot more negligent discharges, a lot more families being torn apart by that form of gun violence. And it's all due to a little bit of irresponsibility and ignorance. And ignorance is not a bad thing. You know, a lot of people think ignorance is a bad thing. Ignorance with the willingness not to learn is a bad thing. But
yeah.
ignorance with the willingness
yeah.
to
right.
learn is great. So, but, you know, I can, anytime I go on, I need one of y'all to just jump in and shut me up because I can keep on talking about this stuff. So feel free to jump in and shut me up. But that's my story,
it's good,
y'all.
Though. It's
I'm
gonna, good.
Ellie, you
it's
put back
good.
Over to
because
you,
I,
Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like for me, you know, I think when I think about, you know, being a new firearms owner or, I'm instantly taken back to the very first time I ever fired a firearm. So this is, you know, Marine Corps Elliot telling you the truth. You know what I'm saying? The very first time I ever fired a firearm was in boot camp, and it was an M16A2 service rifle that fired 5.56 rounds. So here I am, this young man from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And, of course, we had our rough areas. I went to a pretty rough school, but I've never really got into any real trouble, you know what I'm saying? I've seen some really bad things, but, you know, I didn't grow up in the hood. You feel me? Like the hood, you feel me? So,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't exposed to a whole lot of danger or any kind of firearms. Like I said, the first time I'd ever held one, fired one, or even seen one live was when I went to the Marine Corps, and it was an absolutely terrifying experience. Like the first time I fired that M16, I was having a panic attack. Like I cannot believe that I you know what I'm saying, I have to qualify with a rifle that I've never fired before, and if I don't qualify, they're gonna recycle me. You know what I mean? That was terrifying for me. So, and you know, fortunately, I had an instructor who was a drill instructor at the time, and he was the range drill instructor. He kind of just walked over and was like, "Listen, recruit, just take your time, breathe. You know what I'm saying? Go over everything that we showed you, everything that we've talked about, and just take your time." You know what I'm saying? I ended up passing, and when I tell you I passed, that was literally like 2-3 points above the minimum I passed, you know?
Wow.
So it was awful, but I passed, and I was good. About 6 months later, I found my, you know, I'm in my unit for the first time, and we have to go to the gun range, but I was with a bunch of guys that had to do it, and it was very relaxed. Like, hey, you know what, you know what I'm saying? If you don't qualify, you got to do it again, basically, right? But you don't get recycled, you know what I'm saying? So there was no real pressure. First time I went out there with no pressure, I shot expert, and which is the highest award you can get, you know,
okay.
in the Marine Corps for shooting a rifle. So I was kind of shocked, like, wow, man, I just did.
Yeah, he got flexing there, right?
Right here.
See how he flexed real quick?
Right,
flex.
I see him flexing. I see him.
Flex real quick. Hey, listen, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, so, I shoot expert, and I'm like, yo, I said, well, maybe, you know, it's not as hard as I thought, you know what I'm saying? And the following year, I shoot it again. The following year, I shoot it again. And I'm like, hey, yo, I might actually be pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Like, I might actually know what I'm doing. But then my final year in the Marine Corps, which is how I got into the gunsmithing field, I was able to work in the battalion armory as a custodian, which by title you would think, hey, oh, I was cleaning toilets and floors and mopping and cleaning windows. That's not what it was. It was about maintaining the battalion armory firearms. So I got to do that, was introduced to it by Sergeant Eric Canetta, really good friend of mine. I hope you get a chance to listen to this, you know what I'm saying, the broadcast. And, you know, that was the first time. I got, which was a whole lot different from, you know what I'm saying, firing an M16. I mean, you know, it was, I mean, completely different. You know, we say, oh, the fundamentals, the sight picture, sight alignment, trigger squeeze. Hey, listen, a pistol in your hand in comparison to a rifle, it's still a lot more going on than you think.
I'm sure.
that is
I'm sure that's a lot different.
Minute.
So even
well,
now, Elliot, so now, so like now,
yeah.
Tell us how Now, what are you teaching people? What is one of the biggest questions you get from your students?
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things that I found that I keep encountering, you know what I'm saying, is they just want to know how to shoot. Like literally, I just want to know how to shoot. I want to know how to use this gun. And I have to kind of reiterate, like, well, do you understand the laws? And I know we're going to get into that later. Do you understand what you can and cannot do? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's a whole lot, like you mentioned earlier, there's a whole lot more than just owning a pistol. You know, owning a firearm. So through conversation, I can kind of people to say, well, yo, I really want to take that class because I didn't know, you know what I mean, that I couldn't protect my dog. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know
right,
that I
right.
couldn't protect my
right.
property. I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and I'm getting it, you know, I'm kind of getting into what Dwayne going to kid on, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's really the biggest thing I keep encountering is that, you know, they just, you know, I just want to shoot. I just want to learn how to shoot. And I'm like, well, hey, but there's a whole lot more because the courts, you know what I mean, the law, they're not going to hold you, oh, this is just a person that wanted to shoot. No, you, with a concealed weapon carry permit or anything, they're going to consider you a responsible firearms owner. So
right.
That's how they're going to judge you. They're going to look at you that way. Like, hey, you knew what you were doing. You know what I'm saying? I use that in my class often. Like,
you have to know better.
Right.
What you're going to hear.
Right.
You have to know because it's your responsibility to know this. And nobody wants to hear, well, hey, I didn't know that. And, of course, that's the little ignorant phrase we, you know, as teenagers, come on, when we were all there, that I
right.
quite often
I
now
didn't know.
Told a kid, you know what I'm saying? Well, I didn't know that. But come on.
Yeah.
You could have asked the question. You could have researched
and you know what?
And
what's funny with that, Elliot, is, it's like a lot of people don't understand that they use deadly force and they end up being convicted of manslaughter. And you're like, wait, I was defending myself. And you're like, oh, but not according to this. You were in this area. You were here. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And then you're like, but I was – so you become the victim. You know what I'm saying? So it's just without the training and understanding the laws and how things go, like you can end up in some serious trouble. Serious trouble.
Absolutely.
So
easy. I don't think anybody
so easy to go from being a hero of your family or your neighbors or, you know, in any situation to being criminal, you know, in the blink of an eye, you know, and all that comes down from something as simple as you not knowing the laws, you know.
Right.
It definitely
right.
does go way beyond just buying a firearm, saying, hey, guys, I got my concealed. I'm good to go now and walking out the door and never looking up, you know, I'm pretty sure you two, along with myself, I look at the laws all the time, especially now with everything that's going on. Oh, we have a
right.
lot of laws in place. And I know, Kia, I know you can't wait to get into that part. There's so much laws that's being put in place. There's laws that was put in place just last July, you know, federal laws, state laws, that a lot of firearm owners that I've spoken to or did classes with didn't even know, you know. So, yeah, so I appreciate you too. Definitely. I'm glad I've met and we connected the way we connected. And I can't wait to see where this partnership / relationship takes us. And I know that we're going to build an incredible following. The folks that's listening right now, we are doing this for you. This isn't for us. We want to make sure that you guys get as much information as you possibly can. So, again, I'm Elliot.
Right.
100%. 100%. I think that many of us have to, you know, we definitely have to get as many people as we can to understand that training is a necessity. Like, if you own a firearm, getting education, get some kind of training, that's a must. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You can't just have it. You know what I mean? Because if you have it, you may have to use it. But if, you know, like you pointed out, you know what I'm saying? But if you're using it in a situation where the two of you are in an argument, the whole situation has changed now.
It's changed.
You can't be And what's that term that Don taught us?
An aggressor. An aggressor.
Yeah, you can't be in an argument and then pull your firearm saying you tried to defend yourself. You can't do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
and we're definitely going to touch on that.
And I get
definitely. Willing participant. That's what it is. You can't be a willing participant.
That's it. Yeah.
Yep.
Because I know me, if I feel like my temper is going to be a problem, I need to go ahead and put my bad boy away. Let me put this bad boy away real quick.
Right.
You
and walk away.
Because de-escalation is first and foremost. So we talk about, my area of expertise for everybody that's listening is going to be training and, of course, any weapons maintenance questions that you might have or customizing questions you might have. But one of the things that I teach first and foremost in my class is if you can get out, get out. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I try to tell people all the time, having a firearm on your hip does not qualify you to be a superhero. It doesn't even qualify you to be, you know what I'm saying? Let's be honest, because those of us that train, we still don't truly understand or even know how well we're going to respond in a situation.
In a
you
stress
know what I'm
situation. So, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know that, you're going to hear things a little differently. You're going to see things a little differently, and 100% you're going to remember the whole thing a whole lot different than what really went down. So,
right.
But training helps your body be a little bit more prepared, and not just body, but your mental state of mind. You know, I'm a little bit more prepared.
And I was going to ask you about that,
too,
Ellie. I was going to ask you, what do you think about mental training? A lot of times we talk about just physical training. Physical training, I got to get bigger. I got to get faster at draw and all this stuff. What do y'all two think about mental training? You know, are you ready to really go out there? And what if you have to pull your firearm on a 16-year-old and you have
come
to
on
use
now.
It?
That,
are you mentally
man,
prepared for
question.
That?
Listen,
what do y'all think of mental training? And what's the tip? How do you mentally prepare to get ready to go outside for the day?
You cannot. I mean, you can't have one without the other. Let's be realistic, right?
Right.
We know that if the brain is dead, the body's dead. You feel me?
That's right.
So, you know what I'm saying? With all thy getting, I'm going to hit y'all with some scripture real quick. The Bible says that with all thy getting, get ye an understanding. You feel what I'm saying? So,
that's right.
Like,
yeah.
You have to be able to mentally prepare. In truth, you know, the whole concept of muscle memory is not really muscle memory. You are mentally creating. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to get too, medical, but, you know, you're mentally creating those pathways that allow your body to respond without thought. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The more you
right.
do it, the more you do a thing, you're mentally creating that. You know what I'm saying? But people say, oh, that's muscle room. My body just knows. No, the body doesn't know anything. The brain doesn't know.
That's
you know what
right.
I'm saying? So, you know, the more I told a football player the other day at practice, he has one of the worst football stances that I've ever seen in all my 20 years of coaching football. And I went with him and I showed him how to get in the stance, how to help him, like literally physically showed him how to get in the stance. And I told him, you have to practice this every day. My mother used to say this to me for years. What you practice, you keep. If you practice lazy,
that's right.
you're going to play lazy. If you practice, you know what I'm saying? Just firing rounds down range, that's all going to happen when it comes, you know what I'm saying, when everything hits the fan. You ain't going to hit a target because
that's
you're
right.
not practicing.
Oh, yeah.
You're not training mentally, you feel me, what you need in order to keep rounds on target. Yeah, you might stress out, but if you've trained enough, body is going to respond through a mental connection. It's going to respond the way it needs to respond. I totally
that's
believe
right.
that. So, but again, I don't think anybody's ever really mentally ready to have to take a life. I'm just being real with you. You know what
that's
I'm
right.
saying?
No, I agree.
I agree.
I don't think anyone's ever really ready for that. I don't know. I know in a situation with my family, you put me in that moment, I know I'm going to respond. You feel me? But just a regular day situation, Elliot walking all will-nil, and somebody wants to rob me, in my thought, I'm not really thinking off gate. Let me kill this guy. Let me pull out my, let me draw real fast and shoot this guy if I can
right.
de-escalate it. If I can talk my way out of the situation, anybody that knows me know I'm a talker. You feel me? So I'm,
we
if
know,
I talk
Elliot.
My
we
way,
know.
I know, right? We know, Elliot, man. We know.
I'm a talker, bro. Yeah, if I can talk my way, hey, partner, what you want, I got you. You can have it. I don't want it. You feel me? So, but
yeah.
If push comes to shove, then the Marine Corps guy come out. You feel what I'm saying? So that's a
whole
right. other. Yeah, that everybody don't want to meet that guy. You don't want to meet that guy. So.
Yeah.
And that's
not
the
so,
thing, too. It's like, that's the thing, too. It's like, you know, when I was talking to you guys a few weeks ago, I was saying, you know, I don't want to just train to shoot a hole in the paper, right? I want to know,
right.
you know, what to do if I'm going to my car and someone comes out and jumps out and try to take my purse or try to come out and I'm with my kid and someone's trying to attack me. You know, so it's great. It's really good to be able to shoot on target down at the gun range and get it and show my paper and take a picture and show it on Facebook. But then what happens in real life? Because we all know that in stressful situations, I even think about just, I mean, and not to be TMI, but let's say you're on your way home from work and you got to use the bathroom real bad and you try to get your key in the lock. How often are you able to get that key in the lock? That's just
a
stressful situation, but it's very difficult. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your body's under stress.
It's
and sometimes
question.
You're like, why is this happening? Like, I'm good the entire drive, but as soon as I go to unlock my door, I can't, like, my body's shaking, you know?
Right.
You know, that's a
right.
really good
so it's, so imagine. So imagine if someone is trying to attack you. You can't tell me that
Absolutely.
You're going to always know exactly what to do from shooting rounds down the lane in the range and hitting the target. No,
now, you
what?
Have to do situational training. You have to.
Right.
Like, we can set up programs, you know what I'm saying, through Sixth Sense, who's that tactical, through, you know what I'm saying, Point Blank. We could set up programs, but let's be realistic. We still may not touch or scratch the surface of every situation. You feel me?
Right.
Statistically, we know that the most vulnerable time, you know what I'm saying, or if we will, when we're usually always in the cold white, is when we are getting out of our vehicle to take out groceries or help, allow the family to get into the house, right? Or we're
mm-hmm.
going into the store, coming out of the store. These are times that we're most vulnerable. Like, because usually, if you think about it, after you've completed the task, you're kind of going into a cruise control mode now, right? Like, okay, I did what I needed to do. I got what I needed to get. Let me go ahead and head home. Once I get
okay,
to
let
the
me
house,
let me stop you, Elliot. Let me stop you. For those
uh-huh.
That may be listening in that don't know about the code white, explain the code.
So we know we have code white. Code white is a situational code that nobody should ever be in. It is a
right.
Literally it is what we call tunnel vision. I got my face stuck in my phone. I'm in a situation where I'm counting my money at the register and I don't see the guy walk in because I'm not focusing. I'm not aware of my surroundings.
Right.
Or
yep.
I'm talking to an old friend and we are caught up in the conversation and we're not paying attention to what's going on. Situational white is a situational awareness we should never be in. Never be in. Never
right.
be in. Never
you mean
be
you're totally
in.
Unaware of what's going on.
Yep, absolutely.
You have no clue. That's basically what it is. You,
right.
you don't have a clue. And you'll become a victim faster than you can understand. Then we have, what is it, situational
yellow,
right?
Yellow,
Where
you're a little bit more aware.
Basically, situational yellow is I'm kind of keeping my eyes open. I got my phone in my pocket and the ringer turned off. I need to accomplish a task, but I'm paying attention to everyone around me. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
faces. I'm looking at, you know, possible shapes on the hip because, you know what I'm saying, I have a bad habit of always looking at somebody's hip to see if I can
Me
in
too.
Front of their pistol.
To see if I, have, I do that too.
Yeah, I do the
you
same thing
saying?
As well. Definitely do the same thing as well.
So that's just a habit I have, you know what I mean? And then I'm looking to see If a person has made too many eye contact, like he's made eye contact with me too many times, then I'm watching you the whole time we in the store. You feel me? Like what
right.
You know? I mean, because I'm not the type of guy to be like, hey, yo, what you looking at? Like, I'm not going to do that. But every time I look up, you got, you know, and you haven't approached me to say something, like, why? Like, what are you watching me for? So now I'm watching you. So that's
right.
Situational yellow. Now, situational orange, the color orange means that we have identified a threat. Like, there's a known threat because we were in yellow, and now I can see that there's a problem. And I'm looking to either get out, or I'm looking to find cover. But again, you know what I'm saying? The oldest self-defense known to man is running. If you can get out, get out.
Get out.
That's 100% the truth. If you can get out, get out. And then, of course, situational awareness color red means that it's time to go. Like, I have no other choice but to defend my life and my loved ones around me. So those are situational awareness colors. Again, white, which is the lowest. Yellow, second, red, and then again, yellow, orange, red.
Right.
So to help him sum it up, white is you're just straight up unaware. Yellow is you're aware. Orange, you're heightened awareness. And like he said, I mean, here it says red action, but I like that you said it's go time. And not go time is, hey, you know, I've been living for this moment. It's more like, you know, I need to live. And I have to protect myself, family, my loved ones. I have to, you know, possibly engage a threat. And I love that you jumped in there, Wakia, and you asked about, you know, different colors. Yellow is actually where we should be or try our best to be every single time.
Every single
You know, that,
all
that
time.
Is where
all
we
time.
Want to
all
live
the time.
Is in that yellow. But we all got
because
bad habits.
It can jump from yellow to red in a blink of an eye.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's
the number one bad habit, guys? As firearm instructors, what is the number one bad habit that we all do? And I know the three of us are doing better at it, are getting better at avoiding this bad habit. But what's the number one thing that can take us from yellow and keep us in that white? You said it earlier, Elliot. That phone, man. That cell phone. That right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's
the awareness? All the way down. All the way down.
Yeah.
Folks, it is 9:03 real quick, guys. You're listening to Point Blank Radio, folks. Point Blank Radio with the one
somebody
and only
you guys, somebody wants to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's see. Pick up line. I think it's a 919 number.
I got you right here.
Bet.
Family's from a 919. What's your question? Welcome to Point Blank Radio.
Hello?
Call up from 919.
Someone wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, I see they up there, but it's not coming up for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
I think they're just testing our skills. That's what they were doing. They're testing our skills.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, right.
Well, I want to kind of segue into, you know, when you were talking about earlier, when we were talking about the colors, the situational awareness, because you know what's near and dear to me, the fact that, you know, I feel that a lot of us, I'm going to pick on us as women, right? You know, we tend to stay in our white stages sometime, right? Most of the time. Why? Because we're dealing with our children. We are dealing with a lot. You know, we're on the phone. We're trying to multitask because that's what we're used to multitasking, right? And so, you know, we are paying attention to our kids, paying attention to our phone, paying attention to watching our purse and trying to shop and do all the things we're trying to do and get things done because it's not enough hours in the day, right? So we tend to be in that white stage. And what I really am building my business to is to kind of get – just to kind of educate women to understand that, hey, we need to break those habits of, you know, of not being aware of what's going on. Like, I do a test. Like, me and my daughter will be out, and I'll say, what color shirt did that guy have on? She's like, what guy? I said, yeah. Okay, guy, right. Yeah. When I ask you what color the shirt the guy had in the past, you should be able to tell me. So we're constantly, because I want her to understand, too, that I want her to, if I feel like if I was taught this when I was younger, you know, I probably would be better at, than what I am now as far as, you know, being aware of my surroundings and situations. Because when I was younger, like, my mom didn't play guns in her house. Don't talk about guns. Don't play with guns. But, you know, and not until I got older and I realized, hey, this is something that you're going to need to defend yourself and your family, and it's going to be, you know, something that you need to learn how to do. So, but I think that what I see, even when I'm looking around, when I'm out and about, I'm now more aware, so I'm looking at people, I'm like, you know, she's not paying attention, he's not paying attention, they're not paying attention, whatever. And so, you know, it's just awareness. And so I think that just bringing about an awareness so that we understand that, hey, talk to your kids. You know, remember we talked about this last night, talking to our children, not trying to hide things from them. Let them know when we're out in public and we're not in the comfort of our homes, this is what we need to be doing. We need to be paying attention to what's going on around us. And, again, 100%. That all leads back to training, Elliot. You know, we have to be able, as instructors, to push that and help people understand that in our classes.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you know, like, one of the things that I look at when I think about women, you know, I was raised by a very strong black woman, you feel me, and she did a whole lot, you feel what I'm saying? But I always looked at it from the perspective of distraction. You know what I'm saying? We say, you know that old song, I'm your every woman. I'm not going to sing right now, but you know what I mean? Like, that, you know,
we would love to hear you sing that song.
Right. So we look at the, you know, where women are, they are. They, you know, today they're doing everything. They're doing a lot. But in truth, a part of the training needs to be, hey, that's really a distraction. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you are totally distracted, and that makes you way more vulnerable because you're doing so much. You feel what I'm saying? As a firearms owner now, you've got to – you know what I'm saying, kind of work that out, like figure it out. You feel me? Like, hey, you can't be walking with 12 bags of groceries, your cell phone on the call, and trying to get in your car at the same time. No, can't do it.
Right.
Though you have been doing it up until now, you know what I'm saying, but you can't do that anymore because you are a target. You feel me?
Right.
So, those are things that we have to do, and, you know, we have to get people to understand that when they go to training, like, why it's so important that if you have it, carry it. You feel what I'm saying? Why it's so important that if you have it, train with it. You know what I'm saying? And then why it's so important to be aware of what's going on around you, because it could be at any given moment, you know what I'm saying, that you're in a situation that you didn't expect to be in. You know what I mean? And that's the big, big point. We cannot have distractions. We can't even allow our children to distract us, and we're trying to protect them. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
So
yes,
that's also, you know, when it comes to those laws too, understanding your rights, you know, to defend yourself, and you know that this is gonna lead into you, Dwayne, because you know it's like understanding the laws that you know, that are out there, and if, you know, how they're changing, and if they change in the wrong direction, you know, we'll lose that opportunity, that right and the opportunity to even do that, you know, just defend our kids, defend our family, you know, as husbands, defending your wives and stuff like that, so on and so forth. So that's why we have to just stay aware. I think a lot of people, again, we're going through the world still in white. That means in politics and everything else, right? We're not paying attention to what's going on around us until it's time for you to pull that gun out, and then what? You're a felon now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all that kind of ties in together too.
No, you absolutely hit it on the red key on the head. And you know, today I was definitely going to try – I was going to talk about, you know, legal use of force, but – you know, with what you two are talking about, I think I want to take a step back and you know, do a hard tie-in when it comes down to the one thing that we don't do as people, as parents, as family, you know, husband and a wife. We don't sit down and collectively come up with a plan. You know, and this is beyond firearms. You don't need a firearm to create a family plan, you know, a defensive plan. You know, developing a, it's all about developing a personal and home protection plan. I have one for me and my wife. We know exactly what our plan looks like. God forbid someone kicks in our door right now, you know, and we're working our plan for what, you know, that God forbid that, you know, something happens outside. And Kia, it sounds like you're creating a plan too with your kids. You have code words, you know, code colors.
Right.
And I want to talk about, you know, the importance of creating a plan. It's as simple as, hey, if you guys hear a unexpected noise at the door, hey, dad's going to go towards the door. After he gets his firearm, mom's going to get her firearm, call 911. Older sibling's going to go get younger sibling, and we all rally inside bedroom A. You know, if threat is at the door, we all digress back to bedroom A, lock the door. We already have something to put behind the door while mom or whoever's on 911. You know, so what do y'all think about creating a defensive plan?
I mean, it's necessary, but how do you do that when everybody in the household doesn't understand the importance of self-defense, you know what I'm saying,
exactly.
or home defense, you know what I mean, the way you understand it. You feel what I'm saying? Because I'm going to be real with you. In my family, a lot of people in my family make me feel like I'm the crazy man. You feel me? Like when I have conversations about stuff like this, they, you know, they kind of look at me like I'm the crazy one. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because, and let's be real, most people are walking around in this fairy tale land like, oh, this ain't never going to happen to me. Oh, that ain't never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's not that serious. Oh, it's not, you know what I'm saying? But then the moment it gets too close to home, not everybody wants to, you feel me? So like, that's the hardest part for me, is trying to get everybody to see that this is for real. And at any given moment, any of us could be in a bad situation. And if we don't know what to do, you feel what I'm saying? If the whole family doesn't know what to do, it could get ugly quick. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, and that's what we were talking about last night, and not hiding stuff. You know, my daughter knows, like, our, you know, part of our plan is if it's in the middle of the night and an alarm goes off, you don't run towards me because I'm going to be shooting towards that way. So don't run to me. I'm going to be shooting towards the door. So I don't want you running to me. You stay where I, you know, we have a plan. You stay where you're going to stay, and you get down low because I'm going to be shooting high, you know? So it's, you know, it's that
playing.
Type of plan.
You're not
we
playing.
Talk about it. No, and we talk about it, and we, you know, my daughter, we're constantly talking. I know she probably thinks, okay, enough. But she actually likes it, so that's a good thing too. But, you know, it's like we're constantly talking about
really
stuff like that. So I think the more you talk about it, even if it sounds crazy, you know, you have to still, you know, talk about it anyway because, you know, like we're going to take it back biblical, right? Planting seeds. You got to plant those seeds. Somewhere they'll grow, you know, just plant them anyway.
That's true.
Because either way, at some point in our lives, I hate to say it, we're going to have to, we may have to defend ourselves at some point. So it's better to be prepared, even if they don't just remember what you said 2 years ago or a year ago.
Oh,
you know, if they remember that, then they may be okay.
Right.
I think it's
crazy
how, you know, Elliot, you said that, first of all, Kia, I love get low because I'm shooting high. That is amazing. That's the best thing ever. Get low because I'm shooting hot. Elliot, you said it best,
see,
man. You said, you know, I know, right? Elliot, you said it best, man. You said that it's crazy. How can we create a plan when we have people, we may have people in our family that don't want to grasp the concept? I think it's insane that we all grew up doing fire drills. Right, as kids, you know, that whole system is teaching us from young fire drills, and even those of us that are still in the office, sometimes a lot of these big companies do fire drills for us as adults, and we all say, oh, why are we doing this, but how easy is it to see a bunch of grown folks execute a fire drill versus kids, because they've been doing it for so long, you know, so why is it okay for you to be able to do a fire drill for work? And you don't even want to create one for home, you know? So, so I'm going to challenge the listeners to, you know, after you get off from listening to us, because I want you to listen to the whole show, I'm challenging you guys with some homework. Create a plan for you and your family. Practice the plan. Look for holes in your plan. Tweak the plan. practice the plan, look for holes, tweak the plan, and do that over and over and over, because today is not the same day as tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Something's going to change. You know, hey, your plan today could is beautiful outside. Tomorrow you have 3 feet of snow. Does that change your plan? Absolutely. You know, it's raining. Does that change your plan? Absolutely.
Yep,
Mom is
absolutely.
Home by herself. Dad is working. Does that change the plan? Absolutely. The kids are home by themselves, of course, of age. Does that change the plan? Absolutely. Create a plan, practice the plan, tweak it, and keep doing that circle. There's no such thing as a perfect plan, because you're going to always keep tweaking.
I'm going. I know somebody listening probably thinking it, man, I ain't trying to do all that.
See, Elliot got to go against the grain. Go ahead, Elliot.
Oh, no. And like you said, you know, we have a lot of those people in our family, but that's where we can't just – I remember when I got my first couple firearms, I called everybody I knew, especially all my New York folks. And I was like, ha, you know, you guys in New York can't do this because it's New York, no guns allowed. And then my wife told me, she was like, Dwayne,
right.
Stop. You know, it's too much.
Yeah.
You can't just give them
and
all
then
the
you
information.
Got a
you know,
in hand, so shouldn't you be saying that?
No, that's another show, sir. That's another show. All right, sir. That's another show. but no, I think the way I don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna just keep on talking, Elliot, because you being rude now, right now. hashtag Taurus guys, Taurus gang.
Oh Lord, here we go.
But you know, I think the way we break down that wall is by slowly chipping away, and maybe we allow the ones that you know are kind of. Like, you know, want to push back against the grain, allow them to chime in and create a plan. You know, say, hey, all right, you don't think this works. What works for you? Because in my household, we create something. What works for you? Let's see if we can tie that in. And it's slowly
but
surely.
But here's the question, though. Like,
yep.
do we start with them making a plan first, or do we get them to understand first the importance of having one?
That's the key right there,
oh.
Elliot, because you can't
there
even
you
come
go.
Up with a plan if you can't get them anyone to even understand why you even need
a
firearm.
If they can't figure out
yeah,
why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, why
I think that's the key right there.
Like, for example, everybody we know has a routine. Everybody you know has a routine. But here's the scary and realistic part of that. Somebody watching you that may be trying to rob
that's
you
right.
knows that
yep.
routine.
Yep.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
So
that's right.
Having a plan, you know what I'm saying, of execution, like, okay, well, I'm not going to take this route today. I'm going to take another route at work. I'm going to take a third route the next day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You feel me? Are all things that people need to think about. But, again, if it's going to push me to where my time might be a little, man, that's extra time I got to put in. You feel what I'm saying? I got to do all that. Man, I ain't trying to do it. I mean, because I know people, they don't want firearm insurance, limited liability insurance. Nah, I ain't trying to do all that. Like, what? Do you realize how much it costs to get a lawyer? Should you have to defend
I know,
yourself?
That's right. Send my attorney. I'm going to call the number. I'm going to call you. Meet me downtown.
You feel me? So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I think about when I'm thinking, like, how do we get them to understand that it's important to have it? You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Before we actually get them to accept it. Like, yo, this is the plan. You know what I mean? Because as in school, doing a fire drill, you know, they made it very clear to us, yo, a fire could kill you without even, you know what I'm saying? Being inside a building fire, it could kill you but without even actually burning you first. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Right. You can die from smoke insulation, you feel what I'm saying, without even getting burned. So, you know, the stop, drop, and roll, the crawling on the ground, that's, you know what I'm saying, a single file line, everybody don't panic, all those things, right? At a young age, we all was like, yo, this is important. So, yeah, now it's ingrained into somebody say, yo, we're doing a fire drill today. Everybody know what to do. Yes, because we've been doing it our whole life. But,
yeah, absolutely.
With home defense, how many of us actually been doing that? I mean, we put our lives in the hands of our security companies. We punch it in a code. You know what I'm saying? And then you watch a movie, like True Lies, and you realize, you know, man, your security system ain't nothing to a guy that know what he's doing.
No, very true. You said True Lies. You took it back. I am going to throw something out to the listeners out there.
Didn't I?
No, you were. That's hilarious because I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm going to throw this out to the listeners. Elliot and Kia at brought up a great point. How would you introduce your plan? You know, if you guys want to chime in and call us up to say, hey, this is how you would introduce it. We don't want to hear your plan because that's supposed to be between you and your family. But how would you introduce your plan, or how did you introduce your plan to those family members that was just like, no, I don't like firearms, or I don't care about self-protection or self-defense? Kia, I'm looking at the time, and it's 38 minutes till the end of our stream. I know you have something that you spoke strongly about yesterday, and I would love for you to bring it up about that big bill that's being tossed around right now.
Oh, okay. So the H.R. 5717.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I try my best
to keep up with them, y'all. I'm telling you. Yeah, so it's so much. It's so many of them, actually. I told you guys I was reading, and it's so many of them. It's, like, hard to kind of digest them all because they start off the same. And you're like, okay, that's not so bad. And then as you get down and you read more into it, you're like, wait a minute. You said I can't build my own guns at home? That's going to be a felony? You know, I can't build my own guns. You know, oh, you want to put me on a national registry so everybody can know what guns I have in my home? They can pull me up and, you know, just see what I have. Or like what you guys are telling me about that red flag, hey, do you want to be able to just, if someone gets mad at me, my neighbor doesn't like that my dog pooped on their lawn, they can call and say, you know, oh, this person is a threat because they yelled at me in my yard. And then now the police are knocking on my door, you know, telling me, oh, they want to confiscate my guns until they do an investigation. You know, crazy stuff like that. People, the first four or five bullets are cool. But then those people stop. They don't read the rest.
But see,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Touching on that right there makes me say I need to have a plan of exit for a situation like that.
Right.
You feel me? I need to have a – because, listen, I'm about to keep a 100 with you. I live in an all-white neighborhood, and they older white people. You understand? Now, mind you, we've been here for many years, and – they've watched my children grow up, and some of them go off to college and live their own lives. You see what I'm saying? So they know me very well in this neighborhood. But that doesn't mean that if they see something going on, because let's be realistic, how many times have you heard about a story where they were like, hey, it was a black guy and he was big. The only black big guy I know lives right there at 141. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
I just saw a black guy and he was big. I thought it was you. You know what I mean? So it happens. So it makes me say with this, you know, they're trying to pass that whole, well, they have it in Virginia, the red flag. You know, now that red flag allows them no-knock warrants. If you know what I mean? If it gets to that point, you know what I'm saying? Even after the Breonna Taylor and all of that stuff that happened, they still are allowing the law enforcement to enforce this thing. Why? Because the whole issue is they don't want us to arm ourselves. And I'm not talking about just the African American community. I'm talking about the 2A community. They don't want us to arm ourselves. You get what I'm saying? So
right.
This is where we are. But let me back up for a second, speaking about the African-American community. My brother just brought up a point. He was the one that was trying to get on to ask a question. He was the one that was trying to ask a question. And his thing was, as a black man, he wants to own a firearm. He wants to defend his family. But in this day and age right now, he's a little scared to have one on him. You feel what I'm saying? So how do we address that as instructors? You know what I mean? With these new bills they're trying to pass, how do we make him feel comfortable about it?
You know, I
and
wish
that
thing. I had.
It's just being
that one
just getting involved.
That.
Yeah, getting involved and making sure that he's just aware of what's going on. And, you know, and when these, you know, petitions come up to get rid of these or, you know, get rid of these laws, people, they slip so many things in under our noses because we're not aware. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Ain't no question.
They're not aware of what's going on. So.
And I'm
going
to tell you another thing that I tell a lot of, black individuals that come into my classes, yo, you need to be compliant. You feel me? Like, listen, I know nobody is asking you to sell out. Nobody is asking you, you know what I'm saying, to be a punk. What I'm asking you to do is to survive. You feel what I'm saying? If you get pulled over, comply. You feel me? Just don't give them reason. And I'm not saying that cops are all running around here looking for reason. We could say that because the media makes it look that way. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to give you a reason. You feel me? It's by law, I'm not obligated to tell them I have my conceal. But why would I not want to do that if I'm concerned that if he sees it, he might flip out? You feel what I'm
saying?
Now,
real quick, Elisa, before you continue real quick, I just wanted to let everybody know, number one, folks, we are not lawyers. All right, none of us here on the panel are lawyers.
At
all. Elliot is speaking as a person that lives in Virginia. So here in Virginia, we do not have to disclose to an officer pulling us over that we have
in North Carolina,
that
we
we're
do.
Concealed. In North Carolina,
right.
Yeah,
so
North Carolina,
in Virginia,
you
only have to disclose it if they ask, do you have a firearm in the vehicle?
That's
then
right.
You have to say, yes, I'm concealed. But just keep that in mind, folks. Every state is completely different. Like he was saying earlier, what Elliot is saying now, know your laws. Take the time as a responsible firearm owner and look up your laws. There's so much different avenues that you can explore to just learn your laws, you know. So go ahead, Elliot. I just want to let people know you're in Virginia because somebody in another state might be like, what? Elliot said this. And next thing you know.
Right.
That's true. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just telling you the basic understanding that I have as an instructor. You feel me? But there are definitely avenues that you can take, USCCA through membership as a ask a lawyer type deal. There are probably some lawyers that are that will give willing information. You can find information online right now. I know this for a fact in YouTube. If you talk about concealed weapon carries, Aftermath is the if you type that in aftermath of I've been involved in a shooting, Aftermath. You'll find videos explaining from lawyers that will give you a kind of an understanding of what. But again, you know what I mean? Every situation is different, but I say with my heart, really, you know, every time I see an awful video, and I'm just going to be honest because, I know if anybody has a problem, just let me know. You know what I'm saying? I feel you. I'm just going to be honest. Every time I see an awful video, I always see a fight or a struggle or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Something
right,
going
right.
on. I seldom see. Now, we're not talking about the Greg Lloyd. Now, that was nasty. You feel me? And I can't
right.
I can't by no means defend that without what that law enforcement officer did. I can't defend it. But I've seen many, and most times it's somebody being compliant or combative. I mean, non-compliant or combative. You get what I'm saying? And it just escalates to where – you feel me? Now, we can get into a whole other topic about policing, but that's a whole other show. Trust me. That's a whole other show. But
and, you know,
yeah,
we can definitely talk about that because what you're saying, Elliot, is correct. And I think that we have this – I think, you know, we have this attitude sometime that, well, I can say what I want because, you know, and you should – that doesn't give you the right. But really, why? Why even put yourself in that situation? Just, yes, sir, here's my stuff. Yeah, okay, go. You know, it's like we all want to go home. They want to go home because I have cousins that are in law enforcement right now. And I grew up, and like I have my uncles, they were law enforcement. And so I don't have a bad, like I don't want to say, oh, law enforcement are bad because then, you know, I know that's not true. They've never shot anybody.
Yeah.
They've never done that to anyone.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I've never, you know, I know they haven't. You know what I'm saying? But. It's like just sometimes we talk about, I think we said at the beginning of the show, avoidance. right? So if we're going to have a firearm, we got to go into a fight and try to just say, I got a gun, I'm going to shoot you. So it's the same thing with life. And I think Dawn said this to us, we were in her class, and I love her, and I really want her on the show. But she was talking about a lot of people think that they own a firearm, that's enough. You have to have the attitude, the mental capacity to go along with it, because your attitude in general, across the board, you have to have the right attitude. And that's across the board when you're talking to police officers, when you're carrying your firearm, no matter what you're doing, it's, you have to have your attitude in check. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Absolutely.
You know, there's something that I say that we miss sometimes in all the communities, and it's hard for some, is self-accountability.
That's the one right there.
That when you're a firearm owner, self-accountability is huge. And this goes beyond the whole police interactions. This is just, you know, something as simple. I'm pretty sure you two and some of the listeners have seen that video of that gentleman in the corner store. He has an extended magazine, right? And, you know, the kid walks up behind him, grabs it by the extended magazine, and grabs his firearm, points it at him, and then he runs out the store. Right?
I've seen it. I got that video saved for my class. That's ridiculous.
You know, a lot of people are going to say, hey, that's bad on the kid, blah, 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 blah. Absolutely. Should that happen? No. But what about the person? Where's the self-accountability? Where's the proper holster? Why do you have a firearm fully loaded, possibly one in the chamber, with an extended magazine? That's your preference with extended magazine. That's fine. But where is your proper holster with retention?
They should have been able to take it that easily.
You're the thing.
Right.
Huh?
Man, that dude had,
they should have been able to take it that easily.
That thing in his pocket. It was in his pocket.
You know, exactly.
Yeah, that
like, and you know, it's little things like that that, you know, like Elliot, you know, a lot of times you see some sort of a fight happening. And again, this goes beyond just, you know, law enforcement. It's that self-accountability that we all, that's that missing piece. And when it comes down to being a responsible firearm owner, there's two things that I always say that's key: self-responsibility, common sense. They go hand in hand, or they should go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You don't have common sense, you should stay away from a firearm. If you don't have self-responsibility for any act that's about to happen, you need to don't touch it at all. You know, so that's my little add-in to what you folks were talking about. And I agree with you, Kia. I don't believe all law enforcement are bad. I do believe, however, that just like every other profession, there's bad apples. You know, and when it comes down to, you know, how we're treated as a black community with law enforcement, and I'm not going to talk much about this because, like you said, Elliot, this is a whole another topic for another show.
You
know, again,
we need to hold
ourselves accountable, and we also need to hold whoever, you know, the ones doing the crime accountable, but it also starts with us. I'm going to toss it back over to you, Kia.
Let me say this to our listeners, like, we're not justifying what, you know, the system. Like, we, you feel me? Like, we feel what the black community is going through, especially as black Americans ourselves. You feel what I'm saying?
Definitely.
We want to kind of make the first show about, you know what I'm saying, some simple topics, because that topic right there, man, that could take us down the rabbit hole. We'd be on here all night. You feel me?
All night long.
Okay. Because, you know, because I'm going to be real with you. As a Marine, as a serviceman, it hurts me on a whole nother level that I could talk about for hours. You feel me? So that is – and I just realized I said you feel me probably like 30 times. But that's something that I'm like, man, I served this country. I was willing to die for this country. So like I said, we can get into that another time. But definitely, like, we have to have more accountability for ourselves. We have to be, you know what I'm saying, we got to be honest. We have to stop lying. Hey, you know, am I responsible enough to own a firearm? You feel me? As instructors, are we responsible enough to recognize when someone should not own one? Like, hey, I'm not signing off on your paperwork. You know what I mean? I'm not signing off on your paperwork because you make me nervous.
And yeah. And that's another
absolutely.
Thing. Again, I know Dawn's ears are probably ringing because she was like telling us, hey, call this number and let them know, you know, because the thing is when it all comes down to it, guess whose name is on that certificate? Yours?
Right.
Signed with your signature. Yep. You know, you gave this person, you know, we have, in a way as instructors, we have some power there because we are signing off on certificates saying that these people, you know, satisfactorily completed our course. And so we're giving, and a lot of times, especially with conceal and carry, they can't conceal and carry without us. So it does kind of, you know, give us some power to be able to, you know, say, hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, this something don't seem right over here. You know, and not to say the person still might not go out and do what they do, but at least, you know, but at least we made someone aware of, you know, what's going on. So, again, like you said, Dwayne, just taking accountability and responsibility, too, for the people that we train.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Absolutely.
We have to
absolutely.
Do that.
Again, I don't want to put my name, I'm with the two of you, I'm not putting my name next to something that can possibly come back and not even harm me, but harm someone else, you know, 100%. Or, you know, sort of irresponsible a person that's, negligent discharges is real, yo. That's what I keep thinking about that we see a lot in our classes. Well, I've been fortunate to knock on, I'm looking for some wood right now to knock on. I haven't had any irresponsible students, but we know they're out there. We see them on YouTube. We see them on YouTube all the time. But no, I agree with y'all. Don't put your name for the instructors that, if there's any instructors listening, folks, don't think because they paid you to get your concealed, you have to pass them. Hold them accountable
yeah.
to your program. And I say your program, so whatever you put together, create your program and have it at a high level. And hold yourself accountable by holding them accountable to meet your standards for your program. Don't put your name on something 100%. Just to collect a check.
That's good stuff.
I'm a member. Go ahead, Elliot. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I totally agree with that, you know. I totally agree with that. I mean, because it's like, you know what I'm saying, to a certain extent, I mean, to a certain extent, it's like I've given you information, but you've shown me that you're irresponsible with this information, so I can't let you go out there, you feel what I'm saying, and use my name. You feel me? Like, that's really what it
yeah.
is. Like, I'm sharing with you some pertinent information, and you're being irresponsible with it. I can't do that. I can't let you go out there, you know, and that should be our opening, you know what I'm saying, statement, really, before we even start a class, honestly. You know what I mean?
Oh,
that
yeah.
should be our opening statement. But check this out. I was just looking at the time, and I had a question about use of force. And I know we were on the laws just then, but how do we know,
yeah.
Dwayne, when is a good time for use of force? Like, what is the situation you can, you know, they give us that we know, okay, this is when, you know what I'm saying? I hope I'm asking the question right.
Yeah. No. I completely get what you say. That's a great question. And the first thing I'm going to say, again, folks, we are not lawyers. And you want to check with your state. You want to check with your state, with your respective state, to know what the legal use of force looks like coming from that state. For example, Texas have what's called castle doctrine. Your home is your castle. You can defend your home at all costs in a place like Texas. New York, not so much, not at all. Here in the good old state of Virginia, where Elliot and myself is at, we have castle doctrine, but with conditions, right?
Right.
I'm not too sure what it looks like for you, Kia, in North Carolina. But you definitely want to make sure that before you go guns a-blazing saying that you're protecting yourself, that you want to make sure that you know your state laws, number one, right? And the proper time that you execute deadly force is when you feel like your life is in danger. I'm just going to cut straight to it. When you feel like your life or your family's life is in danger, I call it that back against the wall. You have all right to use deadly
yeah.
force in almost all 50 states.
What if somebody
is what changes state to state. Oh man, Elliot, if you driving that nice Lamborghini here in the state of Virginia, someone walks up to you and with
hey,
your
look,
car,
you know I'm a Bugatti. I'm
you
a Bugatti
cannot
type guy,
shoot. You cannot shoot and kill. You cannot shoot a thief, folks. You cannot shoot a thief. If you are walking up to your car and you see someone at your car trying to break into it, what I would recommend or what I'm going to do is I'm going to, depend on where they at, how big they are, I'm not going to lie, how big they are, if they're much bigger than me, I'm going to walk away and be a great witness. I don't care what anybody call me punk or not. I will be a great witness. If I'm with my kids, I'm definitely walking away. If I'm with my wife, I'm definitely walking away. I'm going to go be a great witness. If I'm by myself, I may say, hey, what are you guys doing? Or I might press the alarm, and hopefully that startles them. But you cannot shoot. I'm not going to expose my firearm, point it at them, and say, hey, get away from my car. You cannot do that, folks. You have to go down the proper path. You have to stay. Elliot said this earlier. You cannot be a willing participant into a fight. You have to stay an innocent party the entire way. So, again, folks, don't shoot a thief.
Yeah.
We use this. There's this Shark Tank analogy that we use as trainers, and it goes a little bit like this. You have a shark tank, bloodthirsty sharks, you know, and they're in this nice tank, and they just hungry. And you have this $100,000 watch on, and you put your hand, you're leaning over, your watch slides in. Are you jumping in? Are you ready to jump in? Now,
not for the watch.
You have one of your kids jump in. One of your kids fall in that same tank. Are you jumping
right.
in?
Right.
Yeah.
Jumping in. Yes,
you know,
sir.
The scenario changes. 100%. And, you know, so to go back to answer your question, you know, when's the best time to use deadly force? The real question to you then will be, I would say, for an individual, you got to ask yourself, the number one question is going to be, are what you're about to use deadly force for, are you willing to risk your life for it or go to jail over it? And if your answer is yes,
absolutely,
who are we to stop you? So if that car is worth that much to you that you're willing to take out your firearm and go up to the person stealing the car and you're willing to risk your life or end up in jail over that car, who are we to stop you? We're just saying that once you go down that path, be prepared for what happens next. Self-accountability. You can't go shoot someone stealing your car and then be like, oh, my gosh, why am I in jail? They're stealing my property. You know, some states you do have to try to retreat. And this ties back to your personal plan as well, folks. You know, create your plan. First, learn your state laws. Again, here in the state of Virginia, if someone kicks in our door right now, we do have a right to protect our castle.
Yeah.
But if we do it the wrong way, let's say the gentleman, the criminal gentleman, I assume all criminals are guys, right? Let's say the bad guy is in the garage and my family's in the bedroom and I tell my wife, hey, babe, I got this. I'm going to go get that bad guy. And I walk through my home, find the bad guy, leaving the house, and I take my firearm out, shoot him, or I shoot him in the garage. It's hard for me to claim self-defense because I tracked him down.
You tracked him
down.
Yeah.
So definitely look up your state laws.
But and that's the key right there because, you know, as a hardworking individual, we believe, you know what I'm saying, especially if we're law-abiding, you feel me? Like, man, I work hard for that car. I work hard for, you know what I'm saying, for this, for that, you know what I mean? But, yeah, but we, you know, we have insurance. And there's other things, you know, other ways. But, you know, life is what's important because at the end of the day, you know, you have to be say to yourself, am I willing to lose my life? Am I willing to go to jail? Am I willing to face the consequences? But at the, you also have to be willing to say, hey, yo, am I willing to take somebody's life over a vehicle? You know what I'm saying? Over a purse?
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Over you know, a lawn gnome because – with my grandmother's, you feel me? So, like, we have to be, you know, and people, you know what I'm saying? Because I had a client tell me that if someone was to, you know, try to shoot his dog, he was going to draw his weapon. And I'm like, listen, man, you're going to jail trying to defend that dog.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. Yeah, he was like, that's my dog. I raised that dog from a puppy, man. He's family. I'm like, that's not how the court see it. And I'm not a lawyer, but I know that to be the truth. Like, that's not how they're going to see it.
That's not how the court sees it.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But yeah, that's
and
really,
your words
that's really good. But
word in how you speak to a situation, folks, you know, and I was saying that word in how you speak to a situation definitely counts. It can be, number one, if you're ever in a situation, the first thing you want to do is, you know, holster your weapon or put it in clear and put it away from you. That's
right.
The first thing you want to do. The second thing you want to do is when law enforcement show up, let them know you're willing to cooperate. You're not going to do so without your lawyer. Get your lawyer.
Absolutely.
You know, don't call a friend. Don't call a spouse. Don't call anything. Get a lawyer. Have the lawyer meet you down at the precinct because, folks, this isn't the movies. You know, in the movies, you know, you protect your home from the bad guys. The cops come, take away the bodies, and, you know, the scene pans out with you on your front lawn walking back in the house and the cops driving away. That's not how it works. You're going to end up down at the precinct answering questions. They are going to treat you like a criminal.
Yeah.
I've said this in
my
classes. Folks, when you shoot someone in self-defense, it's not labeled self-defense because you see so. It is a crime. You committed a crime. You committed murder. You murdered someone. It has to be labeled as self-defense. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
You committed a crime. They're going to treat you as such. I have something I want to throw you guys' way. It's a little scenario. And this is to show the listeners, too, how it's three of us here, and we're all going to probably have different point of views on this. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah, I got it, bro.
All right. So this is a scenario from I'm going to give credit to USCCA from our instructor program, right, around on legal use of force. I want to kind of see how you guys think about this. So you leave a busy city street and turn down an alley.
Hey, Glenn, hold on one second. Hold on one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just got a message that the sound just went out.
Is the show over?
Gotcha.
I see it says we got 12 minutes, 24 seconds.
Yeah. I'm not too sure. Everything looks good on our side. Here.
Yeah,
they might just have to refresh. Yeah, folks, if for any reason you're experiencing, you know, bad sound on your side or no sound on your side, number one, you won't be able to hear this, so I shouldn't even know why I'm saying this. But go ahead and hit refresh.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had to refresh mine, too. But go ahead and say what you're saying, bro.
But go ahead, Dwayne.
All right, cool. So on your way home from work, a dog runs in front of your car on the freeway. You slam your brakes and you hit the back of and another car hit the back of your car, right? Your car is fine, so you continue until you can pull onto the shoulder. The other car, however, is out of commission and pulls over several hundred feet behind you. The other individual jumps out of their car with a machete and charges your vehicle, screaming that he's going to kill you, right? So when you see that, you get out of your vehicle, take up a position behind your driver's door, and you shout commands continuously for 40 seconds. It takes the individual to reach you. You shoot the individual as you get within 20 feet. What do you guys think of that situation? Any red flags?
Yo, I mean, yeah, that's definitely like the end scenario was the person open fire or?
Yeah, you see the bad guy coming at you with a machete. He jumps out of his car that's 100 feet away, several hundred feet away from your car, and he's running at you with a machete saying he's going to kill you, right? You get out your car.
Yeah.
You get behind the driver's side door, so you get in a tactical position. Position at that point, and you yell for 40 seconds, stop, and he gets within 21 feet of you, and you shoot him. What does that look like when it comes down to you claiming self-defense?
That looked like you did nothing to de-escalate the situation. You did nothing to avoid the situation. That looked like Elliot got behind his vehicle, took a tactical position, and was looking to put some rounds down range. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What it looked like.
You know,
that's what it looked like to me, too.
Yeah. You know, so what are you guys doing in that situation? Like, from an instructor's point of view, what are you doing in that situation when you see someone running at you with a machete and you're in your car?
man.
My car's
punching.
Still working,
I'm
right?
Getting...
So I'm just going to drive off.
Yep.
A little
your car's
still
working.
I'm driving off. I'm driving off. I'm
absolutely.
I'm calling the cops.
Man, you guys are yeah. You guys telling me you guys got guns and you guys are going to drive off? Come on, you got some punks right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
you guys
drive
off and you got guns?
Hey, call me a punk if you want, but I'm driving off.
But I'm just saying, though, like, he wasn't at my window. He was 40 feet away. So what's the point on trying to – and he got a machete. That, right then,
yeah.
That's the person that you can't talk down. You feel
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So because they're walking into the situation with you know what I'm saying, a false multiplier. You feel me? Like, they're
yeah.
looking for a problem. You can't talk a person like that down. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, so why stay around and see how bad it's going to get? I'm out. I'm gone. That's what I know.
Yeah. And,
because
and,
the first thing we have
know,
to think about is
question.
What's going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen is we got to think about what's going to happen after we shoot them.
Yeah.
So they're going to take our gun. They're going to take our gun away, right?
Yep.
We're going to have to
oh,
go
yeah.
downtown and do all this paperwork and this and all this stuff. So just drive off.
Yeah.
100.
What's
absolutely.
The first thing you can do when you drive off?
Call the police.
Third person.
Yeah.
There you go.
Make sure I get I don't get hit by another car. Hey, look, I've already made one person mad. I got to make sure I get in the lane clear without causing somebody else to get angry. Now I got a whole another problem.
No,
because,
me,
listen,
I just keep driving
out
of median. I
right,
just keep driving
right?
out of median.
I like this
yeah.
scenario because I just saw something, and I think it was in New York. If it's not in New York, I'm sorry, fellow New Yorkers, for putting it on you. It was either New York or Philly, but it was like some, I guess they were like on dirt bikes or something like that, and somebody hit one of them and in a car, and he just stood there, and the dude got off his dirt bike or four-wheeler, whatever it was, and he just demolished the car, but the dude stood there for like 10, 15 minutes. Instead of just driving off and going to the closest police precinct. Folks, if you're ever in a situation to where you don't feel safe with pulling over after a hit or accident, it is not against the law to go and drive to the closest police precinct. You know, that's not considered hit and run. Call 911.
Right.
Let them know exactly what you're doing. Let them know you don't feel safe. And they will probably instruct you to drive to either the closest police precinct or to the
yes.
point to the closest cop. All right?
100%.
So I love
yes.
the situation because it definitely – I've seen this happen a lot of times, a ton of times.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's really good stuff. So, but I know we kind of winding down now. You know what I mean? My computer shut off and everything, but – definitely, I know that. I just had to turn it back on, but I definitely love the content, man. I love the opportunity to do this with you guys. You know what I'm saying? And for people that are listening, man, you know, like I said, this is our first night. This was the you know
first
what I'm saying
night.
The grand opening, the cast off, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Definitely hit us up. You know, you can find any of us on Facebook or Instagram. You know, let us know questions, things that you thought we could have addressed a little bit more, or you know, saying absolutely anything. I think it would be an you know, it would help us develop this into what you know, saying the wonderful Kia sees it to become. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
You know, thank you, man.
Well,
we
and the thing
you,
is, it's like
you
we really. Oh, please. And the thing is that, you know, we want to make sure that we want to kind of give you guys a taste of, you know, the conversation. We have an open dialogue. We're not sticking to a script or anything like that, you know, and we're going to get better at opening these lines, too, so everybody can talk. But,
I know, right?
You know, we'll
yeah.
be able to have some dialogue and we'll
out,
be so. Able to, you know, interact. Huh?
No, I say that we're figuring it out, guys. You know, our heart's in the right place. You know, we're being genuine. You said the best word. This isn't scripted at all, guys. You're gonna hear us so unedited, so raw, unfiltered, unscripted. Whatever you want to say, you're just getting the straight rail. And when you call us, we want to hear from you as well. You know, if there's something that we said that you disagree on, we want to hear, because the thing that plagues us as a community, and not just a black community, but as a two-way community, is open dialogue. That's the thing that plagues us the most. So if we're saying something that you don't agree with, call us, because we want to know. We have a chat box. And for those of you that are on the website listening that way, throw a message in there or a question in there or whatever. Let us know, especially when you don't agree with what we're saying. We want to have that conversation. We don't mind, because that's the only way that we can grow on both sides, is by having straight, raw, open dialogue. When I first met Kia and Elliot, that's what we had. We just had straight up open dialogue. We all have our differences,
right,
but we all have our common interests, you know, and here we are today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to the next, definitely the next episode. I'm looking forward to any of the questions or comments that, our listeners may have. I'm getting ready to go to the field for some training, of course, because I believe in training. I may not be on the next time we do the episode, but, don't count me out. Don't count me out.
He'll
be back. He's coming back.
He'll be back. I'm going to imitate his voice, folks. I'm going to be Elliot.
But I
just
want to thank everybody. Thank everybody for listening in. Thank Dwayne and thank Elliot for, you know, just being like, I'm like, here's the idea. They're like, yeah, let's do it. That, let's go. You know, I'm like, okay, let's go. So, you know, thank you guys.
Yeah,
too.
Because, you know.
And go ahead.
What I loved about the opportunity is that, you know, we look at people online and they have platforms. You feel what I'm saying? And we're the people. I know that sounds so cliche, right? But we're the average people. You know what I'm saying? And people want to hear from people they would run into at Food Lion or Walmart. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear from the guy that has the YouTube channel and he got a camera crew and you know what I mean? Not all the time. You see what I'm saying? So
true. We are the average Joes for real. We are definitely the average Joes.
Yeah.
Real quick, folks.
And
we're definitely
not sensitive. So it definitely, when Dwayne said that if you don't agree, let us know. We're not sensitive at all.
And if any of y'all have a question on who the best shooter is on the team, of course it's me. I'm just letting y'all know that.
It's
so,
we can stay that for another show.
We gotta do this shoot off because I don't. He, you know, he thinks because he, you know, military and stuff. He can outshoot me and stuff.
We can stay that for another show, y'all. We got a minute and 30, y'all. Kia, Elliot, if I want to get some training done, if I want to come out and see one of y'all, how can I get in contact with y'all? Let's set it out there. How do I get in contact with y'all?
So,
well, on Facebook, I'm Point Blank. On Facebook and Instagram. So, boom.
Awesome. What about you, Elliot?
610 Tactical on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you DM me, I definitely will get you and get right back at you.
And you can get in contact with me at Zach_ Tactical on Instagram or just Zach Tactical on Facebook. Folks, you have Kia. We have Kia out in North Carolina. She is holding it down out there. She's a new – we're all new instructors, but I'm telling you, she's going to make your experience unlike any other. You have Elliot here in Virginia, not too far from me in the Danville area. He's going to make your experience awesome. You have me in the Richmond area.
Yeah.
Definitely get in contact with us. Thank you for joining us on our first show. Kia, hats off to you, man, for putting it together. Thank you very much. Elliot, you're awesome as well. I'm glad I was able to meet you folks.
And
make some
maybe tell Dwayne to go live next time so me and Elliot can shoot.
Yeah,
I know.
That's what we're going to do. Hey, look. All right, y'all. It was awesome. I will catch y'all.
Have a
next
good night,
time.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
All right, good night. What does that do?